The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Every step that we take in understanding and experiencing of the mystery that God has opened up before our eyes is one with diligence. God doesn't just throw the precious jewels of heaven before us without our appreciating them. God just doesn't throw things before us that we're not ready to receive. What we're looking at tonight in this eighth chapter is really not hidden, but yet it is hidden. The ability of God that we did not have before, and that is to commune. We were dead. Most of us know this, and we have heard this, and we hear it continually, really. But the Holy Spirit, when he came and quickened and made us alive, where we're no longer debtors to this flesh, no longer to be carried around with our own desires. But he has quickened us and made us alive. Now, what does that all mean? We've been talking about it a little bit. Brother Steele brought it up in our group the other night. As far as each one of us being alive unto God, what does it mean to hear God, for God to commune with us, communicate to us? Because we must say that salvation is a communion with God and us. It's a union, which we know about, at least in some measure, but it's a communion. It's not us just talking to God, but it's God talking to us. And so the quickening power of the Holy Spirit comes, and one of the first things that he does is open up our understanding, open up our eyes to where we can see differently than we ever saw before. We see things in a different light. We see things according to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whatever measure that may be. But the other sense, the spiritual sense that is made alive, is the hearing. Because we are brought now into a spiritual communion with God. And I wonder, oftentimes, if we are really aware and we really are allowing our spiritual ear to be exercised. Are we expecting to hear? And I would say that there is much in the Scripture that's mentioned about God hearing us as we hearing God. As you read the Scriptures, you'll see that we want God to hear us. How does God hear us? How do you commune with God? Well, you just speak, don't you? You also know that he knows the desires of your heart before you ask, but he still speaks to you to ask. And he says he will hear. Now, if we hear, and that's also throughout the Scriptures, this area of us hearing. What does it mean to hear? What does it mean to you to really hear God? Because I'm sure tonight that as you look at the Scriptures, you must come up with the same conclusion that I do. We must be hearing God. If there's going to be communion, there must be communication between God and us. Everything is instigated by God. Faith, every aspect of it, instigated by God. Doesn't originate in us, it originates in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means a communion, a communication, God with us. Now this began in the simplest form, probably, when we come together here tonight. Have we really come to hear God? Did you come through the doors expecting God to speak to you? Now, this is only a few ways that God may communicate to us, but definitely He puts emphasis on this area of us being ministered to. And if we're being ministered to, there must be a hearing. And who are we hearing? Are we only hearing the precepts of man? Are we hearing the precepts of God? Are we alive? This is not something that you work up. This is not something that you study. This is something that is there because the Holy Spirit has opened up that spiritual ear to where you can hear God. I don't care how much you hear, how much you study, doesn't mean that you can hear God. You can know precepts of all kinds. You can know doctrines and everything else. But the one aspect of faith is that you hear God. Not that you know what is written in His Word. That's not enough. That you hear God. So that's the importance of what we're talking about tonight. And I think that we need to kind of brush the cobwebs away from these areas and take a look at them. See if our hearts are really expecting. You know, are we really looking for God to speak to us? It takes a hungry heart to cry unto the Lord, Lord, don't pass me by. Speak to my heart. Make your word real to me. Now, God's not going to fail us. We know that. At least we know that's what the Word of God tells us. But we only know that as we have experienced God. And you can't experience God unless you have responded to Him. The only way you can experience God is by faith. And the only way that you can have faith is if God has communed with you in some way. Delivered unto you the source of life. He has spoken to us how? Hebrews 1. And His Son. In other words, God communicated, did He not? He communicated. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Simple truths. But I think we grow dull of hearing. And we need to stir ourselves. There's nothing that you can do other than humble yourself before God. Area of repentance. Really turning away from anything that would be hindrance to you. And God's going to be able to put His finger on those things that hinder you if you're really desirous and hungering after Him. You cannot go to your prayer closet and really want to hear God without God putting His finger on everything that's wrong. Maybe not at one time, but if you stay there and you really want to hear God and know what God is doing, He's going to put His finger on everything. You're not going to have the relationship with God that you want unless every relationship, other than your relationship with God now, every relationship must be right before your relationship with God can be what He wants it to be. And let me say it, put it the other way around, because this is the way it really works. If my relationship is right with God, every other relationship must be right. Let me restate it. If my relationship with God is right, and I am in communion with Him, in relationship with Him, every other relationship is right. You don't have to wait for them to get right. They will be right. You don't have to get them right so you can commune with God. The first thing that you seek is God. Get your relationship with God right. Every relationship will be right. Because you're not going to commune with Him, and He's not going to commune with you, unless your relationship with everybody else is right. How do I know what's wrong and what's right? The Spirit of God's going to show you. That is, if you really have a hunger and a desire for Him. We've talked about attitudes, actions, relationships. All of it's based upon my one relationship with God. Do we know that? If my relationship with God is right, my relationship with everybody else is right. If my actions are right before God, all of my actions are right in every other place. Because I am moving out of a relationship with God. Now, this is not me just saying these things. Because if I just say these things, you can say, you mean everything that you do is right? That isn't what I'm saying. If my relationship with God is right, if my actions before God, if I'm moving in union with Him, then everything else falls into place. What do I seek? What do you seek? One thing. A continual relationship with God. Ongoing. Communion. That should be the sole source of all of our strength, of all of our wisdom, of all of our actions, all of our working and relationships should be centered in our moving in God on a continual basis. It's not what you've done yesterday, it's what God is doing today. We've been told certain things about salvation, but now as we come there and we find out that some of it doesn't work like we want it to work, don't we get down to where we want God? We want the reality of this. It isn't just people telling us things. We want to know God. We want to experience God. We want to hear God. And we may want to come to the Lord and hear Him the same way we're hearing everything else. We may want to hear an audible voice, but how does the Word of God tell us that we hear God? I'm looking for your response.
By the Spirit.
What does that mean? By the Spirit. By the anointing. What does that mean? When you say the anointing, what does that mean as far as hearing God is concerned? Because these are truths. We hear God by the Spirit. God has given the anointing. Has He not? What does that mean to you? Because we can state these things, but we must know the working out of this. How do I hear? What does it mean for me to really enter into these workings? Let me just take us back to Isaiah for a minute. Isaiah 55. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Incline your ear. How does God speak? And let me come back to the question I've asked us. When we came in tonight, did we come in to hear God? Did we really come in to hear God? Do we honestly believe that God is going to meet with us and is going to speak to our hearts? Now, we don't know when and where and what he's going to use, but we must have that confidence. What other meaning does it have? If we're gathering together in the nature of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we're gathered together in his nature, then we must believe that God is going to commune with us, meaning he's going to communicate to us. We're going to be able to hear God. That anointing that makes the word alive, right? That anointing that reveals to your heart his word, the nourishment that is needed. You need no man to teach you, but the anointing, right? Isn't that what it tells us? That same anointing is going to teach you all things. Same verse is spoken of by the Lord Jesus when he said, I will send the Comforter, and when he comes, what's he going to do? He's going to teach us all things. So I think that we can take from these two scriptures alone, plus there's many more, that everything is dependent upon the Spirit of God. Now, let me give you another scripture, which we're all very familiar with. In Revelations, it tells us, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. We must have an ear to hear. Do we want to hear? Are we willing to wait to hear? When you come to a situation and you need wisdom, do you go to God? Do you expect God to speak to you? What if he doesn't speak to you? What if there's not a knowing? Are you going on and do what you want to do? Did you come with that attitude in the first place? If you did, you can't hear God. But if you come destitute, knowing that you must hear God, there's no other way. God has never failed us. If you have need of wisdom, what's it at? Tell us to do? To ask, right? What does that mean, wisdom? Because many of us in different situations, what do we need? Don't we need wisdom? Don't we need to know what to do with what knowledge we may already have of God? What to do, when to do it? That all comes, does it not, from the wisdom of God? Where does the wisdom of God come? Has not Jesus Christ become wisdom to us? Jesus Christ is not just something that's dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He's communing with us. How did he move when he was here on earth? We talk about union. Well, it's all in the communion, is it not? Communion, union. Wasn't there a speaking of the Father? Was there not a response in the Son? I've come to do thy will, O God. We're here to do the will of God. We all know this, but it brings us right back to that place. What is the purpose of hearing? Why do we hear? I hear it there somewhere. Well, somebody said something. So we can do. What else was said? Receive direction. The simple word is so that we can obey. We definitely come for all of these other things, but in the working of God, every word that comes from the Lord is to be received. How do I receive it? I receive it in obedience. God never speaks to us other than in Christ. Now we're talking about the very nature of God. When God speaks, he's speaking in Christ. That word is living. It's life. Just like Jesus said, He was the bread of life. He was the Word. Now that Word, when it comes to us, is not going to be spoken in any other thing except that you might experience Christ by obedience. Jesus Christ, I can take you back to the simple things which we all know, the simple verses which we time and time again, I hope that they start to open up rather than become, you know, indifferent to them. But faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the architect. He is the one that has designed it. He is the one that completes our faith. What is faith? Faith is responding to God. It's responding to His Word. So if I'm going to respond to His Word, then the hearing means obedience to Christ, so that I may experience Him. He's filling all in all. We realize this. We're connected to the head. Every member functioning, effectual. I think Brother Steele drove that hard into our hearts the other night, which was good. I mean, the effectual. We want something that's affecting us, that is affecting the situation. Every word that comes from God is effectual. We can respond to it. We're going to experience something in God. And so, hearing God is one of the things in the Christian vocabulary that is a must. And it must not be just understanding of it. It must be a reality in each one of our lives that we hear God. Do we want to hear God? Do we want to hear God in our situation? Do we want God to commune with us? Because as I've already read over there, the Holy Spirit has been given, and when it says quicken this mortal body, it means every sense spiritually that we have. Not only is it given this body the ability to do God's will, but made every spiritual sense alive unto God. The senses that were dead, that did not know God, the eyes that could not see God, now can see Him. In every circumstance, can hear the Lord commune with us. We could not before. We were deaf. We could not hear Him. And thus we could not respond to Him. Now we may think that we were just dead. We were not dead in our bodies. Our bodies were alive. But spiritually we were dead. Spiritually speaking, there was no life in us. But the Holy Spirit now has quickened, made us alive. This is the normal. This is not the exception that I'm talking about. That every one of us alive unto God, to be able to hear God. And as we come together expecting. I like what John says there in one little simple phrase. He heareth us. That's over there, I think, in the third chapter. Just part of it, a verse. He heareth us. If that's important, how much more important is that we hear Him? Amen? Now, let's look at these again. We've talked about them. We talked about them the other night. But let's talk about them again tonight. How do we hear God? How do we hear God? Ministry comes. How do we know what to really take of what ministry is saying? What is God saying to you? Through ministry. You have the anointing. Because what you hear is what you're going to have to obey. And the evidence of what you hear is walked out in your life. If you're not hearing anything, you're not moving in anything. Just as simple as that. Sometimes it just opens up things and causes us to be naked before God, where nothing's hidden. But if we hear, we hear to obey. We obey to experience. And if we're not hearing anything, we're not responding, and there's no evidence in our lives that we're progressing or maturing. If we're hearing, we're responding. Now, you have the anointing. Everyone that has the Spirit of God has the anointing. You need no man to teach you. I believe that we can say that that means that we're not learning in natural ways. It's not the wisdom of the world. It's not learning about God that we're talking about. You need no man to teach you, but the anointing is going to teach you. In other words, it's going to make alive to you. It's going to be able to reveal the heart of God. It's going to be able to reveal His Word and make it living in you. He quickens. So the anointing is that approval of God in one way, but it is the working of God that makes us alive, the quickening power of the Holy Spirit that makes us alive. And so it's going to give His Word life in your heart. So as we come and His ministry comes, wherever it comes, God, that anointing within you, must somehow reveal to you the things of God. Now, we're not just talking about facts about God. We're talking about reveal to you the things of Christ. And what is God revealing to us as far as Christ is concerned? That you might be partakers of Him, that you may grow up into Him, unto Him, that you may be nourished. I'm nourished by what I hear. But it doesn't stop there. Unless I obey, it has no value in my life. I must experience the Word. That comes from obedience. That comes from proving God. Getting on out there where it's impossible with me, but possible with God. Getting on out there into God's grace. And there is grace in the time of need. Abundance of grace. God's ability. But it's still in God's eternal plan that we hear Him, that we gather together unto Him, that we're here not only to worship Him, but to commune with Him. Now, it's going to come through ministry. God has designed that we be brought to a place of unity in our faith through ministry. Ministry has no meaning unless we're hearing God. Because all ministry is, I don't care where you come from, if it's ministry, true ministry is Christ being served to you. That's what it is. That's the bottom line. If it doesn't do that, it doesn't do anything. And of course, in Christ is fullness. Whatever your need is, God knows how to serve you. And tonight we can be speaking about a multitude of different areas, even in this area of communication. And God knows how, because you have the anointing. He knows how to take, and if I might use the expression, spoon feed you. And He loves that. He likes to serve you right from His own hand. And that's what He has chosen to do. And it cannot be any other way. But the anointing within you is going to be partakers of the ministry. Now, as you approach the Word in your daily relationship with God, this Word is not good just to look at and read and try to memorize and all of that. What do you go to the Word for? For facts? For something that will soothe your conscience because of what you're doing? Or you go to the Word for God to speak to you? Because I find that if I'm at a place trying to prove something about somebody else or prove something to where I can use it against somebody else, God always drives a sword through my heart when I go to His Word. It isn't them that I'm trying to fight. It's God fighting against that which is in there. He's going to take His Word and drive it home to where I have to turn from it. So when you go to the Word, only the Spirit of God can also, that anointing, beloved, that is in you, is going to make this Word alive. What does He make it alive for? So that you can respond to Him in it. This is a relationship. Everything that God is doing in a relationship. Do we know anything about relationships? Or are we so independent that we just kind of move along within our own little sphere, and if things fit into what we do, are we moving? Are we desirous of growing closer in our relationship? We talk about it, but are we really knowing what it means? Are we humbling ourselves? Because only at this place are we going to see the true working and the flow of God to us. Is this not true? Hearts that are low enough to receive. If you come with your own preconceived ideals, you come with what you want, you're not going to hear God. You may hear something. You may hear a voice even. But it's what you want to hear. So you must come on down. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Due time, He will raise us up. But in that humility, God is going to feed us. There's no feeding without humility. True? Humbling. Humble yourself. Realizing, beloved, that we're nothing. It's the other pride that enters in. Isn't that the opposite of humility? Pride that I am something, that I know something. None of us know anything outside of Jesus Christ. None of us know anything up here separate from what we have experienced in the Lord. The only thing that is yours tonight is what you have experienced in Christ, not what you know about Him. That doesn't belong to you. That will escape. What you have experienced is yours. In this working out, that's where you can say, I know Him. What you've experienced. If you haven't experienced, you can't tell me you know Him. I can't tell you that I know Him unless I've experienced Him. That's knowing Him. That's what the Scripture speaks about as far as knowing Him. You can look over there in 2 Peter. The knowing there is experiencing God. I can't experience God unless I've responded to God in a relationship, because this is a relationship, right? Do we believe that? What can we do in a relationship? Because this all has meaning in communion, does it not? You may have to look at some of the more natural relationships, but all of our relationships in Christ, if they are in Christ, should be on a spiritual vein and level, right? Amen. All our relationships should be up there, but I think that we can look at even the natural relationships. If we want a relationship and we want to enter in and know somebody, what are we going to have to do? Can we just barge in? Does there have to be some submission? If we want to truly experience what somebody else is experiencing, we want to know and mine from what they have and experience it, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to get in a place to where that will flow from that person to me, right? And that's what we're talking about in the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? We have to get into a place. And He has told us very clearly in His Word that we have to come in the right attitudes. And of course, He has changed our attitudes if we are moving in the Spirit of God. We have to come in the right attitudes. And as we come in the right attitudes, what's going to happen? What does submission do? Don't tell me what you know in your head. Tell me what you know in experience. It opens the flow to where we can partake of all that Christ is. And that means in our circumstance and what we need to know Christ in that. Now, you may not fully understand that expression, but I think you have some measure of understanding, because everything that we experience of faith, we experience Christ. And He's all we need. I used to wonder about that myself as I looked at it and looked at it and looked at it. And more and more, as you go along, you see that in Him is the fullness. We don't need anything else but Him. In every circumstance, He is the supply. He is all things to us. But how is He there? He's there to commune with us. He that has an ear. We must be hearing God. We want God to hear us. God wants us to hear Him. Which is the most important? Us hearing God. Why is that the most important? Because He already knows our hearts. He knows before we even ask what we're going to ask. But we are not God. We need to hear God. In fact, I will go farther. We must hear God. And He has made every provision for us to hear Him. And that means that every circumstance, don't leave Him out of any area of your life. If you're not hearing God, if there's not the peace that comes from that direction of God. Now, how does He speak? The anointing lets us know. Right? We're not dealing now just with the human communication. We're dealing now with God. That I may know. See, in the anointing, there's also a knowing. Knowing the truth. Also speaking the truth, but knowing the truth. The anointing allows us to know. Not only that, but the anointing allows us, faster than anything that man has ever invented or ever will invent, to bring before us everything that He has worked in our hearts and every aspect of knowledge that He has revealed to us. He can bring up in an instant of time to where we now can move in not only what He has revealed to us in the past, but we can move and live in the life that He now is speaking to us in His Son and by the Spirit. It's glorious. Sometimes we think, well, I forgot that. No, the Holy Ghost doesn't forget anything. The Holy Ghost makes you what you are as a spiritual person. The Holy Ghost brings all that He has revealed into play in every day. He's able to check you. You say, well, I forgot about that. The Holy Ghost doesn't forget about it. He's there. That is if we're in tune. If there's not something blocking that relationship. And that's why I say the most important relationship is our relationship with God. Because when you come down and you want to commune with God and some other relationship is wrong, you're going to have to go get that relationship right before He's going to commune with you. And He's going to put His finger right on it. He'll show you if you stay there long enough. If you really want to know. And that's why I believe tonight the most important thing is our communion with Him. That brings us right around the full circle, right back to that central focal point that I want God, I want to know Him. I want to hear Him speak. I want to know the anointing. See, I'm using words that you're familiar of hearing. You've been taught in school without the Spirit of God. But now we come into the school of the Spirit. He must redefine our words. He must redefine our communication. We are being communicated to in the realm of the Spirit. Is that true? How can He write His law, our commandments, in our hearts and in our minds? He's communing with us. He's making His Word living in us. It's not something that's out from the outside any longer. It's something now that's in the inside. And if I'm going to know that, I can only know it in the ability of the Spirit of God. I cannot know that in my own ability. I cannot know that in the natural. This is a spiritual working. Everything that God is doing is spiritual. Just because you don't understand everything, like you think you understand the natural things, does not mean that it's not real and God cannot communicate. He knows how to communicate. And when He communicates with you, you know it. Do you know that? I'm sorry I have to tell you, but you're the first one to know when God speaks to your heart. What importance you put on it, that's another thing. But it's revealed in what importance you put in on it and everything else that comes to you. Because we can hear God and He can excite our hearts and we can weep and cry and get up and go right away. Forget it. Doesn't that say something about that, about hearing over there in the sower? He that hears the word arises. What happens? He forgets what he heard. Devil comes and snatches it right out of his heart. Did he hear it? Sure he heard. And it's the same thing with us. We can hear, but what do you do with it? Is your heart prepared? Do you want to hear? Because the seed that falls on good ground is the heart that is prepared, that wants to hear, that wants to respond, that has nothing in between, nothing that's hindering us of pureness, of response to God, obedience unto Him.
The Word, as we look at it, as we allow it to work in us, as we take time with the Word of God.
Now, there's another aspect, the aspect of prayer. Prayer is a little bit different, I believe most of us will acknowledge anyway, than taking time in the Word. The Word, you're reading, you're looking to that, and you're looking for God to speak to you. Not just what you want to hear, but what God wants to commune with you. Everything is spiritual. He's going to lead us. That doesn't mean that our lives are just haphazard, but He's going to lead us step by step. But now we come to this area of prayer. We know what it means for us to speak to God, because every meeting time we come together, we're encouraging each other to come and to for the brothers to enter in vocally. Right? So we know what it means for us to speak to God. Or at least to open our mouths and hope that it's not just vain repetition. When we pray, are we looking for an answer? Do we want God's answer? Or because we have come to the Lord so many times and asked, and we've asked to heap upon our own lust what we want and how we want God to work, we tell Him how we want it to work. We tell Him about the whole situation like He never knew about it. We tell Him what the needs are like He never knew about the needs are. Now come on, listen to me. Because what we need to do is bring these things before God, and prayer is two ways. And I need to learn how to lay the burdens that God has laid in my heart before Him. And then I need to learn how to have Him speak to my heart and break it back and give me the direction that I need to take. Because you'll find that as we bring certain burdens, you just don't say, God, You take care of this. You're the only one that can do it. I rightly understand, because there is a working, and God's the only one that can do it. But He also didn't say that He was going to go to all the world and preach the gospel. He is sending men by the Spirit. Right? He's chosen vessels of clay to speak. And so when we come to this area of prayer, not only are we speaking
But God is speaking to us and breaking up these areas and showing us what we may have to do in the situation that we're praying about.
Lord, where would you have me move? Would you have me stand still? Would you have me move? What would you have me do?
So you don't hear anything. What would we do? Well, I guess I better do something. Don't do anything.
The children of God are those that are led by the Spirit of God. Unless God is leading you, it's time that we learn to rest. If God isn't working, there's no sense in us working because we cannot work the things of God. We're moving in union with God. And when we start to enter into this rest where God is working, you start to see the things of God done right before your very eyes. You'll start to see the miracles take place because He's communing. He is saying, are we really seeking Him? Are we really looking to hear from Him? Ministry, His Word, and prayer.
Takes time. What's the one priority? That I may know Him. That may not be your priority. There may be too many things that have crowded it out. That is maybe preeminent tonight in your thinking. But in reality, is that the place that you are tonight? I don't care what everything else. I'm going to lay everything else aside. I'm going to know God. Because as we come to the Word, we will come for God to speak to us. Not in what we want to hear, but what God wants to commune with us. When we come to service, when we come together, we're gathering together unto the Lord. Is that true or false? I'm gathering together here with you all because we have the same life. That means the Holy Spirit is abiding within us. We're alive unto God. What are we here for? We're here for a number of different purposes. But the two that stand out in my mind is for God to commune with us and us to worship God. We're here to worship. Our lives must be a worship unto God. And we're here for God to commune with us. We're here for God to manifest in our midst by His Spirit in that supernatural way, that way that only He can do, to commune with us.
I think we have maybe laid that aside and don't feel maybe we need too much of that anymore. Now, we wouldn't say that on the outside.
But unless we come and want to hear God, unless our hearts are in tune, our hearts will become dull. Do we come with purpose? Unless you move with purpose every day, you don't move in God. Because the spiritual person is moving with purpose. God's purpose, not man's purpose. Not what you want to do for God, God's purpose. It may be that God wants you to be still today.
Sometimes we have difficulty with that. We decide what that means.
We've become slothful in our life. We blame God on him and say, we're praying today. You'd be surprised what you can do as you move through each day of this world, knowing God in it and communing with Him as you go through every situation.
Prayer, His Word, and ministry. Heart condition. Do we want to hear God? Remember, when He speaks,
what does it mean? Everybody. When God speaks, what does it mean? Obedience. Too many times we don't want to hear what God has to say about a situation. Because it's not always the way that we want to hear it.
sometimes we think we know more than God knows. But beloved, I bring this back tonight. God is a God of mercy. He's a God that is faithful. He's a God of love. And He's a God that communes with His children. My sheep know my voice. Another they will not follow.
There's many things that need to happen, and only God can make them happen. We can talk about tonight, as I've already talked about, we can talk about manifestations, but only the Spirit of God can manifest Himself. We're not looking to work up something. We're looking to know the Spirit of God. And if we come expecting, if every heart is expecting, every heart is gathered together in faith, do you think God is going to let us down? I've already told you, and I believe each one of you have the same testimony. God is faithful. Do we want to hear God? Do we need to hear God? Are we crying out in our hearts before Him? Are we expecting? Because if we're not, wouldn't it be any good if God spoke to us, right? And God knows us, and He's just waiting for us to hunger and thirst. Is there any question in our hearts that He cannot fill us? What are the areas? Ministry? These are just three of them. His Word and prayer. Those are the most important areas. There are other areas where God can speak to you. He can speak to you in relationships, in circumstance. I'm not going to take the time to go into all of those, but definitely He can speak in there. Every step that you take through your daily life, you have eyes to see, and you can see that God is there. You can see that God is in it. He has not led you by this way without a purpose. Lord, what am I doing here? He'll show you. Do I look for Him in everything? I look for the Lord in everything. But I don't get a chance to preach to that person. Were you joyful? Did you smile? Is it possible that they wanted what you had without you speaking a word? See, a lot of times we're so muddled up in our thinking what we must do as Christians. All God wants to do is manifest Himself to us. The world looks for peace, and there's only one place you're going to see it. In the church. In you. The world's looking for joy. You can see them out there trying to live it up and find it. There's only one place they can find it, and they're looking. You can show it to them. You can see God. God can speak. God can lead every step of the way without you being one of those freaks. Because I'm not talking about freaks. I'm not talking about this jerky type of leading. I'm talking about sons of God that have their feet flat on the ground, that know God, that are hearing God, that can experience God, can realize God in every circumstance, and give Him glory and praise for the day that we've lived in. Thank Him for today. Can you thank Him for the testings and trials that have come your way? Are you looking for deliverance? With every temptation or way that you may go through. That's a crushing blow to some of us that want to escape. There's only one escape, and that is into Jesus. And when you escape into Him, we're going to experience Him in every circumstance. If He allowed His Son to go to the cross and die, do you think He's going to shelter us?
See, sometimes our concepts are wrong.
Tonight, we want everything fresh and easy. And yet we read about and hear about those that are suffering, that are going through all kind of persecution. Not only that, but just losing their lives. Thrown into prison. They must have done something wrong. They're not living the life that God wants. Why doesn't He deliver them? He has delivered them into Christ Jesus. They're the only free men. The ones that are delivered into Christ. But they're in jail. God doesn't want us in jail. God wants us to enjoy this life. He wants you to enjoy Him.
You can enjoy Him in jail. You can enjoy Him in your circumstance, wherever it may be and whatever it may be.
Quit trying to get out. Just move to get in. What I mean, bring everything captive, every thought captive, every action. I'm escaping into Jesus. Sure, I may suffer.
Paul says, don't even talk to me. Look at the stripes on my back. I've suffered. I'm not here to argue with him, he says. I have all the proof. I have suffered for his name.
Just go on through. Just don't pray to get out. Just pray to know God in it. Because that's the only thing that's going to make any difference anyway. You're not going to get out of your situation. There's not one of us.
I haven't got out of any situation, have you? Come on, be realistic about this thing. Be spiritual. We haven't got out, but in every circumstance, we have learned to know Him. In some way, He has revealed Himself. I know there's different things that we see that's being published. You know, you see the footprints of Jesus on the sand. Well, we see more than just the natural footprints by our eyes as we look and see. But, brethren, the person that has their eyes open can see that Jesus has come by this way. He's prepared the situation. He's prepared the heart. And He has led you to speak to that person. He doesn't lead. Doesn't mean that they'll receive. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to be one to the Lord. See, our concepts, we're looking to win the world for Christ. Bring all of our situations back to our relationship with God. Let Him take care of everything. And we won't have all of these troubles and all of these questions that creep into our minds. We're at rest knowing that He doeth all things well. Glory.